You are listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Hello, I think we started, and welcome to yet another issue of Sex Talk, also known in some locations as Love Line. I am your host, DJ Fresh Buzzcut 5000, and with me in the studio tonight is our usual selection of hosts and our fabulous, fabulous guest from last week, Claire. We broke a Sex Talk Love Line record last week. We received, what was it, Pablo? We received, I think, believe, 3,000 emails and letters from our listeners after Claire's debut, telling us how fascinated they were with about her powerfully arousing story. And we had to bring her back. We actually, I believe, paid extra to bring her back in order to discuss the situation in more detail. Before we launch into that, I'd like to introduce my fabulous co-hosts, and I will go around the room, as usual, asking them to introduce themselves.
Hi, this is DJ Last Chance talking to you.
Jeff, back with you.
And this is Pablo Zush.
And this is Claire.
Claire, welcome.
Thank you.
Claire, when we were just talking in the technologically advanced Loveline Studios, you revealed to me that you had a particularly fascinating... we were talking about your first sexual experience with another woman, and that was particularly arousing to me. And I was wondering if you could just recount that for us. I think we should just launch right into that.
Okay. the first time I ever was with a woman, or the first time I ever had sex with a woman?
Wow. Well, I don't know the distinction. I mean, I suppose the first time you were with a woman was in the womb, right? Your own mother.
The first time I was ever with a woman sexually, I was 14 years old.
14.
And she was my best friend all through ninth grade. And we got drunk for the first time together. And it was in her room. And she leaned over and she said, "I really want to put my tongue in your mouth." And I said, "Well, why don't you do that?" And so she did, and that was the first sexual experience I ever had.
Oh, my gosh. You were 14 years old, and already you were tongue-kissing with another woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe our listeners from next week realize that at this time in our lives, I was president of the chess club, and we were discussing various chess moves. How is it that you, at 14, had such an incredibly powerful lesbian encounter?
I guess I've always been a sexual person. I've always been interested in people's bodies and the way different people do different things with their bodies, their mouths, their hands. So I guess I get what I want.
And how did that feel? I mean, were you all put off with the idea of being with another woman?
No, I thought it was great. It was intriguing. It was interesting. She was beautiful. She was really beautiful. And it was just wonderful. It was a great experience, and I have had many more after that.
Pablo, when you were 14, what were you doing in Spain?
Well,
Spain is a very liberated country, as I understand.
Not at the time, but I was actually doing similar things, except not with men. I guess I was doing similar things with women. I don't think I was as sexual as Claire is, but...
Too bad for you.
Yeah, so in my case it was... Oh, too bad for me, for sure. Come on, touch my thigh, come on. Okay, so it was more of a desire to know what it was like rather than some deeply felt instinct, you know?
I just don't understand. 14 years old, if I'm 14 years old, I wasn't personally in such a deep pool of self-loathing that I couldn't possibly have been sexual with another person. I mean, how do you people get... I don't even understand it. How do you people get so much sex? Can you explain it?
How you get so much
I should point
sex?
Out to our listeners. Our listeners do not actually have the visual component that I have. Claire is possibly the most beautiful woman I have actually ever seen.
Thank you.
I mean, we were just talking about this. Claire, you are, let's face it, in another world you would be a supermodel. I mean, I know that you're a serious university student, but in fact you could be a model today. Is it?
Thank you.
Do you not agree, Pablo?
Oh, totally, totally.
So a little bit of Shannon Doherty, a little bit
what
of...
What is the obsession with Shannon Doherty
well, perhaps,
that you have?
Perhaps that answers your question. She's beautiful. How could people keep their hands off her?
I mean, it's so unfair. Being born beautiful has been such an advantage for you. I have had to get by on my knowledge of C++ and chess in order to get around to say...
It's not... Oh, boy. It's not... what you look like. It's what you do with what you have. So if you're just a very sexual person by nature, it doesn't really matter what you look like on the outside. If you turn me on, then it doesn't matter if you're drop-dead gorgeous, the next, you know, Cindy Crawford or whoever. If you're a sexual person and I'm attracted to you, then I'm going to sleep with you.
But what attracts you? I mean, certainly it's the physical component that attracts you.
It's not just the physical. No, it's not.
Let's take a specific example. Let's say me. Here I am. Aged grad student, kind of.
Hey,
crusty,
don't talk yourself down there.
Crusty, bitter loser. What could you possibly see in a person like me?
Well, obviously the C++ skills.
Cool shaved head right now, which is kind of.
I've never been sexually intimate with you, but I think.
People turn you on at a distance.
Is nothing worse than bad sex. I think that's a universal truth. Like, I would actually like to take this.
Well, torture and death. Might
no,
be.
That is no. Not torture and death. Neither torture nor death is
not at all.
Bad sex is torture.
Genocide. You know, none of those things. Pestilence. That what? You've touched me. Why have you
what
touched
did you
me?
Have to do?
So we should be really glad that Saddam Hussein doesn't engage in bad sex with Mr. Clinton, I guess.
Well, you know what? When I sleep with Mr. Clinton and Saddam Hussein, I'll let you know.
Interesting.
George Clinton?
I'd like to point out to our listeners, as always, the phone numbers for contacting us here in the studio. They are, as always, 268-WRCT. That's if you're on campus. And
621-WRCT. WRCT spells 9728.
And that's country code 1. Area code 412. And why is it country code 1, Pablo? Because USA is number 1.
Yes, absolutely. Except that the Caribbean is also country code 1, and Canada as well.
Yeah, whatever. So,
so you can call and you can ask me anything you want.
I mean, I would like to, if it were at all possible, I would like to be you for 48 hours. I mean, what is it like to be you? I mean, Do you get asked out all the time by men, women?
Mm-hmm. It's harder to be asked out by women because I think that a lot of women basically feel like if you're a lesbian, you're going to be the stereotypical shaved head butch woman, which I am not. And I've dated stereotypical butch women before, but I'm not that. So it's a little bit harder to be with women than it is to be with men. But I get grabbed a lot, which is a little uncomfortable. But otherwise...
Grabbed?
Yeah. Well, you go to parties and stupid drunk men, you know, touch you like you're... Never mind.
That's totally oppressive. Are you allowed to slap them? Have you ever slapped anybody?
Yes.
So is it usually the other person that initiates things with
usually,
you?
But there actually was somebody that I met over the weekend at a party.
This last weekend?
just recently. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Friday night. And I was very attracted to him. And he introduced himself to me, and I introduced myself to him, and we shook hands and sort of just held hands for a minute. And I just knew that he was somebody I wanted to get to know. So I winked at him, and he winked back. And
winked? You winked?
Winked.
Is this some sort of bizarre 1950s time warp? Nobody winked.
I wink all the time.
You wink?
Yeah.
I mean, that's either a sign of like some sort of nervous disorder or just a sign that you're really
not the way I wink, baby.
Wink at
try it on. Try it on the host.
Oh, my God.
Try it on the host.
Can you do it
go
one more
for
time?
It.
I don't know. It,
I don't know. This is good, but it's not as good as Cherise's.
The ear. Like, have you ever put your tongue in somebody's ear? Do you have a technique for that? Really?
Yeah,
but you're not as good as Cherise was.
I have to tell you.
Sure. Oh, well, that's good. Okay. Okay, that was very good, but Cherise is still better.
Oh, that hurts. Well, actually, the question, I mean, have you had Cherise's tongue in your ear, Paolo?
Yes, and you did too.
Well, I don't have any reason to compare, because I'm the reject over here on the far side of the couch. But.
So, anyway.
So you winked. This winking thing is just too strange. Maybe that's the thing that's lacking for my own sex life. If I wink, do you think
I would
get...
Well, I think if you look like a dork when you do it, it doesn't work. But if you can add some sort of sensual quality to it, then it works just fine. Yeah. But that's... We're not going to have fun this weekend.
How's this?
Shut your mouth.
I can't wink without looking like Popeye. Maybe that's my problem.
Well, that image is held by your tremendous biceps, of course. But I wonder...
My obsession with spinach.
Yeah.
You wonder what?
Yeah. I lost the track of thought. I don't know. I'm still thinking of my earlobe, actually. So,
I have this thesis. I have this theory. No, go ahead, Pablo.
But you need symbols, right? So you touch hands, you're pretty sure that the other person wants you, but you still need to do something. You can wink or kiss them, but...
No, that's totally false. Actually, I believe the opposite thing. I believe that you're just so beautiful that you draw sex to you like a magnet.
Well, I've been in this body my whole life, so I don't really know what it is. I just know that I'm a really sexual person. I always have been. When I was 4 years old, someone offered to buy my virginity. So.
That's a little sick.
Yeah.
Now, who's that? Some sort of... My parents
were taking photographs of me for an agency, and they showed it to a friend of theirs, and he said, "Oh, my God, when she's 18, can I buy her virginity?"
And?
I've never seen him since then. Okay. My dad beat him up.
Your dad beat him up? Wow. Actually, we were talking about this earlier. I was looking at the family album, and your whole family is just unusually blessed with beauty. I mean...
Thank you.
I mean, what does it feel like waking up in the morning and being stunningly attractive? Maybe we don't...
I never really thought about it.
Wow.
But you had a specific question to ask me. What was it?
Well... I wanted to actually go into a little bit more detail about some of your early sexual experiences. We talked a little bit about your first female encounter,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're willing to elaborate on that a little bit more, or if there's another favorite story about your early development that you'd like to share with our listeners.
All right. Well, I was dating this guy, and we've been together for a month, and we hadn't slept together yet, and it was the beginning of July. It was like July 12th, and we had been drinking, me and him, and his best friend and his best friend's girlfriend. We've been drinking, and we started doing body shots of tequila, where you lick the person's body part, and you pour the salt onto it, and you lick it off, and then you drink the tequila, and then you suck the lime out of the person's mouth. So we've been doing those all night, and we were all pretty hammered by around 2 o'clock in the morning. And are you all right, Popo?
I'm personally very upset by this. Where does chess get you? Chess gets you nowhere in life. All right.
So.
If it's any consolation, Corey, I was the captain of the math team.
The name is DJ Fresh Buzzcut 2000.
I was the captain of the swim team. Does that count?
Sorry, you reminded me of that.
You were still yet another one of my fantasies. Totally usurped.
Hey, you should have been here 2 weeks ago.
You were still 14 at this time?
I know. I was 17, and maybe I was 18, and this girl and I were doing tequila shots, and the boys were watching, like boys always do, and I sucked the lime out of her mouth, and she pulled the lime back, and she started kissing me. So we started kissing, and I sort of forgot that my boyfriend was in this bedroom, and we started undressing one another.
How many people were watching?
Two men.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so drunk by then, I didn't even care, and I had thought she was beautiful since I had met her. So we started... kissing, and I started taking off her clothes, and she started taking off mine, and we just started going at it, and then I think the guys got jealous and joined in after that.
Joined in meaning they broke up what you had going, or helped?
Oh, no, they helped.
They helped. Mm-hmm.
I think I saw that movie once.
I don't think I did that when I was 14 or 17 or 18.
I was 17.
I'm shocked. The tequila idea is such a great, almost obvious idea. And
well, I'm a very free person. I don't consider myself a whore. I just think that I'm a very free person. Can I say that on the air? I'm sorry. I consider myself a very free person. I think I'm very sexual. And I think that if you're safe about things and you use protection and you don't put yourself or anyone else in danger, there's nothing wrong with being sexual and open and free.
And use expensive tequila, because the bad stuff kind of comes at you. Yeah.
The kind with the insect, the worm, is that?
I don't do the worm.
That's mezcal.
But, And it was a great experience. It was the first time I had ever had, I guess, what you could call sex with a woman. I had been with women since I was 14. I think actually I was 18 at this time. My first orgy was when I was 15, like I was telling you all about last weekend. But this was the last one I've been involved in, and I'm getting ready for another one, actually.
Now, how does one get ready for an orgy? Are you?
I'm just waiting for one to happen. I don't really have anything planned. I'm just feeling antsy.
So your most recent one was when?
This summer.
This past summer.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to have a regular host here who was in a few orgies, but they were quite planned because everybody had to be in the right place at the right time and they had to be mentally prepared. Your orgies weren't like that,
never.
Right?
They just never happened. Planned them. Ugh.
Oh, mine was planned.
I never want to plan them. You know, it takes away the...
Absolutely. Spontaneity, huh?
Well, to be fair, our previous host orgies were not actually planned. They were these long weekends with old friends.
The second one was planned. That's true. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So how? Okay. So you're in a. How do you? I'm always interested in the early stages of this. I can see how you can be getting on, and I can see how you can be not getting on, and I'm fascinated by the transition. So you were in this house. How did you go to the bedroom? Did you go to see like her collection of dolls or something?
We had all been drinking in the kitchen, and it was like, it was the hottest night I've ever had in the city.
Oh, yeah, you'll have to swear that. Yeah.
It was 105 degrees out, and the only air conditioner was in her bedroom. So she said, well, let's go into my room, and we can drink and hang out and listen to music. And I said, oh, yeah, sure. And so my boyfriend at the time was like, well, why don't we do body shots? Because my boyfriend and I... at the time, his name's Mike. Mike and I were always doing body shots at parties and stuff, just screwing around, you know. And
I was picturing a body shot as being something requiring nudity.
Well, you get there after a while. You start with,
and
I'm
going to
lick
parties.
The salt off your ear. I'm going to lick the salt off your chest. I'm going to lick the salt off your nipple. I'm going to lick the salt off your breast. And then you just keep going.
And you did this in the middle of a party?
Maybe.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I guess there was a large group of people watching again.
You could say that.
Mm-hmm.
So, how large? I mean, are the people standing around and watch this? Are they clothed?
I've played...
Are people masturbating while this is happening?
I've
played the body shot game many times. It's very popular amongst high school and college students. This particular night, it was only the four of us. The last time I sucked the lime out of her mouth, she started to kiss me, and it was just downhill after that. We were undressing each other.
Uphill.
She was on top of me. How graphic can I get on this radio station?
Well, we're examining issues of beauty, so
she was it was the first time I ever slept with a girl, so she ended up rising up and I
orally stimulated?
Oh, okay. Thank you for that word. I wasn't exactly sure what I was... Yeah. Orally stimulated. God, that sounds...
I believe cunnilingus is the technical term.
Absolutely. Mm.
So I'm fascinated by this. I mean, it's so interesting that so many of my friends and colleagues go through so much mental agony over this whole, like, am I gay? Am I bisexual? What am I? And it really drives them crazy, whereas you seem to just naturally sort of do whatever... you find pleasurable. How
exactly.
How can you be so free when so many others are so obsessed about...
Because it doesn't matter. What I am today may not be what I am tomorrow, and what I was yesterday doesn't matter today because that's the past. Tomorrow's the future, and today's the now, so I'm going to live in the now. And if I'm attracted to a woman because she stimulates me sexually and spiritually, then I'm attracted to her. And if I'm attracted to a man because he does the same thing, then I'm attracted to him. And if I'm attracted to both, then I'll be honest with them and I'll be with both. I don't really have criteria for sex or race.
Maybe there is a difference between you and the rest of us. We're really trying very hard to experience sexuality, and from
well,
you, it's
just
oozing.
Well, I think people are afraid of sex. Society is completely afraid of sex.
Yeah, but we're afraid because we don't want it badly enough, right? We don't want it so badly that we're going to ignore all our little conscience.
Well, that's society's problem.
Or maybe we're afraid because we want it too badly.
Well,
do you
find that what you do encourages people? So you mentioned that you had this encounter in the middle of a gathering of people. And do you find that by doing these things in front of other people, it helps other people to perhaps loosen up and explore their own, spontaneously explore their own sexuality?
Yeah, I would definitely say that if you get a little bit of liquor in somebody and you get a little sexual with somebody and you kind of get them to loosen up a little bit, anything's possible.
You were asking about the audience, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, did the audience slowly loosen up? Did they see what was going on and think, hey, there's someone exploring something new here. Maybe this is my opportunity to try something with whoever I'm with right now.
Yeah, they joined in.
Really?
I had a lot of people licking salt off me that night.
That's amazing. I mean, it seems to... I mean, from my own personal perspective, what I would like to see is... you know, frat boys exploring their otherwise repressed
homosexuality.
Frat boys need to express their repressed sexual. We won't go there with that one.
So can I lick cayenne pepper off your nipple?
I'm sorry, what?
Cayenne pepper.
Cayenne pepper. Oh, pepper.
You know, it's really hot stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is this a request?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. No, not now. Okay.
I happen to have some right now.
Sure.
That sounds like that would be painful. The nipple is sort of sensitive to various kinds of spices.
Some people like pain. You don't know for sure.
You have a very dirty mind, Pedro.
Pedro.
Like
who was this Pedro?
Is that what we're calling him?
Pablo.
Sorry. Pablo.
These Spanish people are all alike. So, I would actually like to remind our listeners... As always, the phone numbers are 268-WRCT, 621-WRCT, country code 1, area code 412, 621-9728. If you save your call until the very last minute, we won't let you on the air. So call early and often. Thank you. Also, I should mention that we have a website, of course. The access code is http://loveline.wrct.com.
So how do you maximize the chances of getting an orgy going? I mean, you're not going to plan one, but you're looking for one.
I've never planned it. I just think if I'm attracted to two people and we're in the right situation and it happens, then it happens.
So what is that situation?
If they turn me on, if I turn them on, if I'm in a situation where I want to have sex with or be involved with two people, then I do it.
So you... Okay, but you're probably not going to grab somebody off the street at 2 p.m. and start putting cayenne pepper on their nipple.
No one's called yet. If somebody would call, then maybe they get lucky.
You're saying if you meet somebody on the bus and there's chemistry, if you will?
Well, I'm not going to go and sleep with anybody out there. It's kind of a dangerous time to do
that. No, you can just do
But if I'm comfortable
licking
with them,
salt.
And...
Pablo seems...
You're losing it. You're losing. Get a grip on yourself.
I'm sorry. It's the L sound.
Someone please call.
Pablo is hanging out. He's going to start hanging out at the spice aisle, Giant Eagle and the cayenne pepper.
So these things happen at parties usually, right?
No. They can happen at parties or gatherings or whenever I'm with some friends drinking. When does sex usually happen? When do you have a one-night stand? When do you get laid? I mean,
I schedule,
it's the same thing.
I schedule my sex weeks in advance.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I have
that
to because
really
I'm so busy. I know that my female friends are so busy that
No, please. I mean,
that's out of control.
I think there's an issue here that you haven't addressed, is that you are part of the beauty elite, and the rest of us have to struggle for sex and get lucky. That's what the reason it's called getting lucky is because it happens too rarely. You don't realize what it's like to be you because you have not yet been in the trollish little world that, for example.
You did not see me when I was 14.
So if I was a sexual Robin Hood, how would I go about taking from the sexual elite and giving to the sexual downtrodden like DJ Fresh?
Well, like I said, I've never thought about it really. I think it's the way you talk, it's the way you move, it's the way you touch a person. And if I have somebody come up to me and touch me in a way that I find stimulating, even if it's just the slightest thing.
A cat-like touch, maybe.
Intriguing. So the thing that...
I'm sorry, the interruption happened because Claire got offended at what I said, and I don't understand why.
The question I have is... are you sure? Are you sure? I mean, so all the stuff, you know, you're saying you're interested in people's personalities and people's way of touching and so on. But I mean, it's true. Like at a frat party, if I came up and touched you sensually, would you not just slap me? Let's be honest. I mean, it's okay. I can take it. I've been slapped many times.
It's not about somebody going up and grabbing you. It's not. I'm completely repulsed when men walk up to me and they grab me. It's like, violate me. It's gross. But if somebody walks up and they dance with you and they talk to you and they look at you and they speak to you respectfully and you find that there's a common link that the two of you have, then you can move on to touching or kissing or...
I believe that we're getting some sort of psychic transmission which suggests we have somebody, a caller. Is that right, Pablo?
I'm getting the same transmission. I don't know if it's true.
It's just a feeling.
Hello? Anybody out there?
Hello. You guys should talk to James Randi. Claim that $1.1 million prize for all your psychic transmissions. You're very good at this.
That is really incredible. Well, I've always actually, I have indeed had a special connection to the paranormal. But now that you are with us, caller, please share with us your thoughts
Well, my particular thought is, now I was in the chess club and the math club in high school, so, you know, maybe my experience isn't relevant, but I was never able to find a place to have sex while I was 14 years old, you know. There are always somebody's parents around with that sort of thing going on. So what I'm wondering is, how did she manage to work all this sex around, you know, her parents' friends, that sort of thing?
Well, my parents were... I have a great relationship with my parents, but I believe that a person's sex life is their sex life, and it's private. So I always found a place, you know, somebody's parents weren't home, or the car was available, or the park, or the woods.
The car? You're 14 years old. What access do you have to the car?
They weren't 14.
And you don't have to move it. You can just go to the car.
Yeah. I mean, whatever, the basement on top of the washer and dryer.
Were your parents, did they permit this? Were they aware of this?
No, they weren't aware. I lost my virginity when I was 15. My parents were not aware of it. And
would they have disapproved?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Do they know now? Do they care? Oh, they know?
As long as I'm safe, they trust me. They know that I make the right decisions.
My parents never trusted me to do that.
I'm sorry.
All my chess club experience never got me that trust. I'm so ashamed of my life now.
Oh, don't be ashamed.
So I'm interested whether the caller had similar experiences in her own adolescence with trying to find places to have sex, or were you too busy trying to master the elusively, seemingly simple game of chess?
Actually, I spend more time with my pre-calculus homework than I ever did with chess, which is kind of a shame because guest room is more fun.
Well, I think being sexually active and being mature and responsible at it balanced out my life. I still went to college. I still did well in school. I was on my swim team. I was a swim coach. I was in the drama club. I was very involved. I was doing things. I wasn't just a nymphomaniac. But
Not just a nymphomaniac.
I mean, no, I was never a nymphomaniac. I just knew when I could do it.
The swim team, does that present any opportunities? I mean, DJ Fresh Buzzcut here has been talking about the swim team.
The swim team was wonderful.
DJ Fresh Buzzcut has a well-known fascination with swimmers, so...
Well, see, exactly. That's why I asked the question.
My reputation precedes me. I mean, that having an encounter with any of the swim team would satisfy several of my outstanding sexual fantasies. So, Claire, you're saying that you did indeed access the swim team matrix at some point in your development?
A girl on my swim team had a hot tub in her backyard. The swim team, we used to go outside in the middle of winter and roll around the snow naked, and then jump into the hot tub and relax, and then go out and roll around the snow naked, and back in the hot tub, and, you know, we were young, and we were all changing, our bodies were changing, we were like 15, 16.
My body is changing right now, I'd like to point out to our listeners.
Anyway, our bodies were changing, and we would, you know, roll around in the snow naked together, and run back in, and, you know, we'd give each other back rubs, and we'd kiss a little bit. It was just healthy experimentation. Nothing more.
This is like an episode of Dawson's Creek. How does this happen? How does this happen to, well, I'll stop complaining. And obviously,
it's the chess club.
The chess club is a curse that you must endure. Oh, man, that's true. Now that I remember, I played one game with the chess club. There's still time for the caller
and for all of us, however old we are, to start a gang and follow whatever your name's path.
Okay, Claire. Maybe I can meet someone on the internet. Claire, have you ever had to resort to the internet for sexual partners?
No.
See, that's just it. The rest of us have to, like, do singles ads.
Excuse me.
The internet. You.
I don't know where you've been looking.
There's
DJ
no
Fresh
shame
Power.
In that, though.
Well,
that's
but,
just nothing I've ever had to do.
Right. That's exactly. You encode the actual shame in that because you just walk into a frat party and you have swim team members groping you. Like, I have to get by on my.
I think we should bring some Marxist discourse to this. You're the privileged class.
Exactly, and I want to usurp your means of production.
That's right. That's the worst come online I've ever heard.
Can I usurp?
Plastic surgery will fix that for you.
Oh!
No, this is true because...
I like this caller.
Claire was...
What are you doing
later?
Why,
thank you, dear.
Oh my. So
Claire was totally right before when she said it's not the plastic surgery, it's how you walk and how you look around.
Damn
and
right.
It's the attitude.
I agree with that. I totally do not agree with that.
No, I definitely agree with
I'm
that.
I'm very sensitive.
I think everybody just needs to loosen up and stop worrying about, am I queer, am I hetero, am I bi, I don't know, I'm so confused, oh my god, relax. If you're gay, then you're gay, and if you're straight, then you're straight, and if you want to screw around to figure out what you are, as long as you're safe, it doesn't matter. You go out, you loosen up, you have fun, you do things because you want to have fun, and not because you should worry about what anybody thinks about you, says about you. Who cares? Life is short. Live it up. If you're only young once, you know? I'm 19 years old, and I am perfectly happy living the lifestyle I lead, and maybe one day I'll find somebody who I want to settle down with and have children with, and that would be all fine and good, and right now I'm 19 and I'm living life and I'm loving it.
I agree completely, but you also need some skills, right? You need to, like,
I have those,
right? And you acquire those by magic, and for most people that's very hard. So
but
how you send this
signal?
Skills
can be acquired by loosening up. Just relax. You know, it's disgusting.
I don't mean sexual skills. I mean the skills to make that connection. The way you winked before.
Skills for making a living?
Well, loosen up.
Well, yeah, the means of production.
No, seriously, I think she's right. You know,
thank you.
You loosen up, you feel good about yourself. People start noticing that you feel good about yourself. They want to sleep with you. It's great.
But I think there's an interesting paradox there. I think that you're correct in saying that sort of your sexual being is itself very attractive, and being sexually free is very attractive. But I think that you have to have a certain amount of sexual experience before you can.
Well, I was sexual before I lost my virginity.
Sexually free.
I mean, I had my experience with that first girl way before I lost my virginity.
And we've been sexual, you know. As children, we're sexual, just playing with our mother's face or whatever.
Well,
in a sense. I mean,
I played with my mother's face. I'm not sure I played with her whatever.
Well, I mean, that is the same.
Maybe experience isn't the word I'm looking for. I think that
sensual with an N.
The underlying paradox is confidence begets confidence.
So, but what I'm saying is that if you just loosen up, you'll get that confidence after that first time, after that first kiss, or that first time you get laid, or that first oral stimulation, or the first orgy. You're going to loosen up, and then the next time it's going to be easier, and the time after that it will be easier. You're blushing, and the next time it'll be easier, and then...
Well, I've had that first orgy, so why is it...
Getting easier.
Anyway.
Relax.
I completely reject your whole theory, I'm afraid.
Mine?
Yes. Because it's a...
That's
because
you're not getting it.
Exactly.
I think getting any is it more.
Speaking of someone who's not getting any, I would just like to say that it's, you know, if you're not one of the 90210 set.
No, I don't.
Getting laid is particularly.
I think you're wrong, DJ.
I don't see that. That's true. I've seen in my own experience multiple people who aren't, you know, pinup of the month or anything, you know, men and women who have sexual lives that are far more exciting than my own, certainly, and sounds like yours too. And but you don't have to be some sort of supermodel, at least from what I can tell.
They've done research on this, and those fat guys with beer bellies living in trailer parks get like 50% more sex than other men.
Oh, well, that settles it. I'm moving into a trailer.
Trailer. There's the key. Man.
So do you have any more questions for me?
Me or them?
Do you have a question?
Not at the moment. I'm just enjoying this.
Okay.
I also agree with you don't have to be beautiful to be very sexual.
That's true.
Yeah,
no, you don't.
True. And I think we all know that in certain phases of our lives, we get more sun than we get less.
I'm going to go now in case there are other callers waiting impatiently.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Particularly stimulating. So, Claire, I'm until medical science is perfected, I won't be able to be you for a day. That's actually my fondest dream.
I'm sorry, baby.
My fondest dream is, of course, to feel all your men thrusting inside me. But until that becomes
that's my fondest dream too, darling.
Until that becomes possible, I was wondering if there were other stories that you could tell us, like the time that you first had an encounter with another woman or had this first experience with a woman. Are there other kind of notable first times you can tell us about that shaped your mental landscape, your sexual world?
There was this one night that my two best friends and I were,
this is not a test of the emergency broadcast system.
We're having some sort of technical...
Please stand by.
I'm not sure. Probably...
All right, I'll give it a whirl. All right, so some friends of mine and I were, we were doing cocaine, and yeah, that's okay to say on the radio. And we were doing cocaine, and it was my three girlfriends and my.
But of course, now you realize that was wrong, and.
Yes, that was wrong. Say no to drugs. Very bad. Okay, so we were indulging in this drug. It was the first time I had ever done it. Stupidly, that is.
And the last time, of course.
Oh yes, of course. And so it was a summer night again, and it was really warm out where I come from. It's a city, and it gets really hot and sticky and muggy, and the air conditioning wasn't working. So me and my two friends, we were really hot, and I said, you know, Amy, I'm really hot. And it was Amy's house, and she said, well, let's go take a shower. And I said, okay. So we were just completely plastered at this point. We had been doing body shots with the tequila, and we had been indulging in drugs that evening. And so the three of us walked into the bathroom completely nude.
Wait, the three of us? Who was the third person? I missed them.
It was my friend Amy and my friend Don and myself.
Don is a male.
No, Don is a female.
Oh, okay.
Like the
sunrise.
Completely naked, climbed into this huge bathtub she had in this wonderful condominium that she lived in, and my boyfriend started taking pictures.
Oh, so your boyfriend was there too?
Yes, but he wasn't involved. My boyfriend and Don's boyfriend was there, and he started taking snapshots of all of us in the all of us in the bathtub together, and we were, you know, straddling one another and kissing one another and drinking in the bathtub together and doing other things in the bathtub together and throwing our underwear at the camera, and it was a fun night.
And I believe we're in negotiations to put that in the Loveline DVD, right?
That's, I believe so. You have those in JPEG format for us to put right on the DVD-ROM? If not, we can scan them in, no problem. You still have those pictures,
right? Yes, I still have those pictures. You can scan them in, sure.
What is it about hot nights? Do you ever have exciting experiences in the middle of a...
I have a great story to tell you. Okay.
She talked about snow before.
So I was 15. It's snow. It's exactly about snow. I was 15, and it was February, and the snow was so beautiful. It was like tiny little stars falling from the sky. And my boyfriend at the time had just returned from London, and I hadn't seen him in a few weeks, and I missed him so much.
Ontario?
Oh, can you say that again? That was really good.
So much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I missed him so much, and I hadn't seen him in a long time, and we hadn't had sex in a long time, but we were outside. We had just come back from a party. All of our friends were together. So we were walking through the park, and it was snowing, and it was cold, and I was wearing a skirt, a long skirt, because we had been out to dinner, and he just kind of threw me down in the snow, and he pulled my skirt up, and he took off my underwear, and we started having sex in the snow under a street lamp in the middle of this park. And, you know, some people walked by and sort of, like, ran off, and, you know, the snow was hitting my eyelashes, and it was catching my mouth, and I was cold, but it was so erotic, and he kept me warm.
I understand it's not at all the same thing, but what would be different in a date rape?
In a date rape?
Yeah.
I've never been date raped before.
Right.
I suppose I would be screaming no.
Okay.
I'm fascinated by the connection. So
what?
So as far as
I was going somewhere, but then it got thwarted.
As far as I can tell, I mean, it doesn't sound like, I mean, you sound like you're indeed in control in all these situations. You have sex with those people that you want to have sex with. I mean,
yes.
There's no element of coercion at all from what I've heard.
Well, but often there is no apparent element of coercion either. There is what I was interested in is the difference between this ravishment that is so hot and desirable and the other, I guess. But please, let's go on to a different topic because I don't have anything sensible to say.
Okay.
Well, I mean...
Well, I think the difference is that you agree with sexual intercourse. If you agree with it, then it's all right, and if you don't, that's rape, and there's a difference.
Yeah, but part of the ravishment is a little tinge of being forced, right? Even if it's an act. The act can be very good and can approach...
Sure, but
violence.
If somebody says no, that's the end of the, that's it, it's over. No is no.
Are you the one who initiates these encounters, or do you find that people come up to you and start something and you think, oh, I'll go along with it?
It depends on the situation. If I'm attracted to them, if they're attracted to me, if it works out, every situation is different.
We're losing DJ Fresh Buzzcut here.
Well, I'm still in the park on that snowy.
That was so wonderful.
That was really incredible.
So there's hope for us who live in Pittsburgh then, huh? So
there is hope.
So Claire, the question I have, I haven't actually. Would you be willing to show me the photo albums and videotapes?
Oh sure.
Really now? Could I take them home for a special, private viewing?
I don't want you to get anything on the photographs. So maybe I'll have to copy them for you and give them to you.
You can give them to me for safekeeping. I'll hold them in front of him at a distance.
I know all about it.
Yeah.
So I know I have a personal favorite. Do you have, like, a single most...
What's your personal favorite?
I'll get to that later.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, DJ...
Jeff.
DJ Jeff. I just want to remind your listeners, this is about your last chance to call in. So 621-WRCT... 268 WRCT. Call now or fail.
is there a single most, like, a single most erotic experience that sticks out in your mind?
Well, I'd say that the snow was pretty incredible. I did actually go once to an island with a boyfriend of mine, and we were skinny dipping, and it was dusk, and the sky was all these amazing shades of purple and blue and pink, and it was, you know, right after the rain had fallen, and the sand was kind of wet, and we were skinny dipping in the water. Why are you looking at me like that?
We're wrapped with attention.
His body is changing.
The water was still warm, and we took off our clothes, and we climbed, you know, on these rocks. We climbed in the rocks, and we dove into the water, and we ended up making love up against these rocks in this ocean in the middle of this island at dusk with the, you know, it was kind of raining out still, and it just went on and on until finally, you know, we got out of the water and we walked back to the tent where we were sleeping in, and that was it. But I'd have to say that that was definitely one of the most pleasurable sexual experiences of my life.
I think that's my favorite of the ones you've told tonight.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
It's like the Blue Lagoon. I mean, it's
it was perfect.
You are my Brooke Shields.
You just,
or
you
perhaps
just,
my Christopher Eckhart.
You totally broke my image of it, DJ.
Yes.
The Blue Lagoon. Wow. Okay.
Well, no, it's the same. Well, it's the same thing, at least for me. Sorry.
That's pretty good.
That was
wonderful.
It was great. Now, what's yours?
Do you really want to hear it?
Yeah.
Actually, it was Christmas Eve, not this past year, but the year before that.
Uh-huh.
And my then lover and I were in my brother's old room, and we had to be really quiet. And she wasn't on birth control as she had been before, and we didn't have a secondary method, so I didn't particularly want to just use a condom, so we decided on a compromise, and I had anal sex with her.
Yes. That's such a sensible alternative. I'm surprised more people don't do
that.
Can
I shake your hand?
Absolutely. And, in fact, so after, you know, the image that sticks out in my head is this perfect image where I'm lying on the bed and she's actually on top of me at this point, and she's, you know, sort of displayed in all her glory, making the faces that only are made.
Stars make.
Only women.
Only are made for that particular activity. Yes, exactly.
Really?
And to sort of make the picture complete, she also was freshly shaved. And that is displayed in a particularly effective manner when one is in anal intercourse.
That's true.
Once again, my psychic sense suggests that we have some kind of caller from perhaps beyond this earthly plane. Is the caller there?
Yes. Hi, this is Saul. I called months and months and months ago. I wanted to get back in touch with you. I feel you have a good show, and I like what you're talking about.
Well, thank you very much, Saul. Saul, is that your name?
Yes, Saul. I called about the Bud Lights a long time ago. I don't know. Perhaps you forget. We had a conversation.
It doesn't ring a bell for me right now, but I've been on a world tour. We've been doing so many different things. I apologize for not remembering your personally.
Hey,
but
listen, you were talking about the anal sex. That had me concerned.
It had you concerned?
Yes. I tried it, and I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
Were you the receptive or the active member?
I've done it both ways, but each time the little furry animals get upset.
Well, have you ever? Have you ever used a lubricant? Makes life a lot easier.
I used jelly. Somebody told me to use jelly, but after I was done, they said don't use strawberry. Use it from the drugstore. Like KY jelly, but I use strawberry.
Strawberry?
Yeah.
The thing about strawberry is it has those little seeds in it.
I know, it had nubbins on it, and it made me really.
I think that your best bet would be to go to a place like Condom World
and
buy a lubricant. You can get it flavored. You can get, I have stuff that it's pina colada flavored, and when you put it on, it makes everything hot, and when you blow on it, it makes it hotter. And if you're having anal sex, and if you're having anal sex, it feels really good.
Please, you'll shut out your radio.
I think you should behave yourself, Saul.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to go now.
Wow. You know, the Saul character actually reminds me of one of the Jerky Boys. I don't know if that's just a coincidence or perhaps...
Saul's actually a good friend of mine. You leave him alone. I know who he is.
Interesting. Well, perhaps it's just
Saul,
a coincidence
call me later if you're listening.
That Saul is the center of our solar system, and perhaps Saul is the center of your own sexual universe. I don't know if there's a connection
no,
there.
He's
but
just my friend. Just
being too poetic, which I get sometimes. I'm trying to develop my sensitive side so that you'll become attracted to my mind, as well as my my very ample body.
Adonis physique.
Well, if you want to take your pants off, we can talk more. No, I'm just kidding.
Interesting. So, do you judge a man? Actually, I was talking with a woman. This is a totally true story. I was talking with a woman, a mutual friend of ours.
Whose
name will go unmentioned.
Alyssa. From last week.
Exactly. About penis size. I don't know if we can spend the last few minutes talking about penis size. Does a man's... You sort of claim that a man's physical characteristics don't matter, and this person, Alyssa, actually claimed that she'll start fooling around with somebody, and then she'll reach down to the boxer shorts, and if there isn't a lot of... if it's not ample enough down there, she'll just lose interest.
What?
And it hurts me to think that, because we men are trying to train ourselves to think that size doesn't matter. But in fact, apparently the big secret is size...
Well,
I'm sorry, you're communicating some message to me? No.
I think that for me, if it's non-existent, I guess it's a little disappointing, but if you know what to do with it, I know, well, you know, why would I need to have sex with somebody with a non-existent penis when I have my pinky? That's like the big joke that Alyssa and I have.
That is such cruelty.
It's not cruelty. I don't think your penis is the size of my pinky. I would hope that it would be bigger than that. But I think that... You know, if you're sexually involved with somebody, it doesn't really matter what size they're.
But if you can't have sex with women, then
I can have sex with women.
So why do you need?
Because I like both.
No. I mean, presumably, what you get out of having sex with women is something other than a penis, since they probably don't have one. The women that I'm thinking of.
I would hope not.
And so, why would you reject a man on those bases only?
Yeah, very good point.
No, I didn't say I would reject him. I'd say that it can be. A little bit disappointing if they're incredibly small, but I wouldn't hold it against them because it's not how big you are, it's what you do with what you've got.
Right. Maybe his tongue is longer than his penis.
That's right? True, it's maybe.
Possible. And certainly more dexterous.
Stronger, probably.
Stronger. Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
Okay, well, we're reaching... the end of our life.
I actually would like to take this moment to share with our listeners that this is WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM, Carnegie Mellon's first and only radio station serving the community for 300 years. 50 years?
Only 50, yeah.
I'm sorry, I had that factually incorrect. I apologize.
Okay.
We have 3 minutes if you want.
We're sending too many private messages today. That doesn't work on the radio.
If only you were all here to see what was going on.
Well, what I'm hoping will go on afterwards.
Video love line. We got to do it sometime. I'm telling you.
So Cassandra, I'm sorry.
Claire.
I think we're gonna close for tonight. This has been a powerfully arousing and fascinating program. I want to thank all of our listeners and all of our callers. For listening. And Claire, I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you join
You're
us
welcome.
Again.
I
hope
to.
That we had planned to have the powerfully arousing and very attractive Doug to join us tonight, but he was busy. He was on some kind of sexual tour of his own and was unable to join us tonight, but I hope that he can join us in the future. And I'd like to close with the thought that, as you said...
Relax, loosen up.
Be free. Life is short. You only go around once, unless, of course, you believe in reincarnation. Or
and we're young, so enjoy it while you're young.
While your skin is still clear,
and use
please.
Condoms.
Use condoms. have sex with
as many men and women as you can possibly do in one night, and then keep going. Don't ever stop.
But I'd like to add my little finishing comment. But be safe and don't do it only when you're young. Do it when you're old as well, because we're getting there, some of us.
Thank you for listening. I'm going to say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Oh, it's still running. I'd like to read some poetry in the meantime.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts. I'm too sexy for Milan. Milan, New York, and Japan. I'm too sexy for your party. Too sexy for your party. The way I'm disco dancing. I'm a model, you know what I mean. And I do my little turn on the catwalk. Yeah, on the catwalk. On the catwalk, yeah, I do my little turn on the catwalk. I'm too sexy for my car, too sexy for my car, too sexy by far. And I'm too sexy for my hat, too sexy for my hat, what you think about that? I'm a model, you know what I mean, and I do my little turn on the catwalk, yeah, on the catwalk, on the catwalk, yeah, I shake my little tush on the catwalk.